Welcome back to New World Next Week. I'm James Corbett of CorbettReport.com.
And I'm James Evan Pilato of MediaMonarchy.com. Anytime that forces are engaged in hostilities outside the territory without a declaration of war, such forces shall be removed. We have got that story, plus a New World Next Week update hoedown. But first, bad news overload, news avoision on the rise. I don't say evasion, I say avoision. These days, more than ever, it often feels like there's no end to bad news. In the age of social media and constant exposure to news, doom scrolling can take a heavy toll on people's mental well-being. James, I was just on a website yesterday or this morning. It was like, oh, you're one of those. It's going to load the next article if I scroll down too far. And I was like, oh, God, get away. Scroll back up. As a consequence, more and more people actively try to avoid the news or at least limit their exposure to it. According to the Reuters Institute's latest digital news report, an average of 42% of respondents from 48 countries included in the survey said that they sometimes or often actively avoid the news, a significant increase from 29% in 2017 when this question was first asked. As the following chart shows, possibly put onto the screen, selective news avoidance, as the Reuters Institute calls it, became significantly more widespread across all markets in recent years, with half of all respondents from the United Kingdom, 45% of U.S. respondents making an effort to reduce their news intake. The Reuters Institute finds that news avoidance is often linked with low trust in the news, and that there are generally two parties of news avoiders, James. Consistent avoiders who typically have low education levels and little to no interest in the news, and selective avoiders who struggle with news overload and try to insulate themselves from certain topics to protect their mental well-being. That's why you just add in the little codes of words that you don't want to see on your feeds. We will include the link to Reuters Institute's Digital News Report 2026. And James, as you, I believe, joked, this is our annual, hey, people don't trust corporate media anymore. And we can pat ourselves on the back for that, James. But my conspiracy theory, what if this is all the man's plan to get us to stop looking at what they're doing?
You know what? Regardless of whether or not it is a conspiracy, it's true. So it has that for it. And that, again, that's just sort of a logical extension of the situation that we find ourselves in. Because if we are constantly bombarded with all of this terrible, terrible news that only continues to get worse and worse and worse, whether it's the wars of aggression halfway around the world and or what's happening in your own backyard and AI data center fight and everything else, and constantly we see these issues come up and they are solved in favor of the oligarchy, eventually people will learn, oh, okay, it doesn't matter if I know about this. It doesn't matter if I do or try to do anything about this. It's going to keep going forward. Oh, well, okay. I'm going to go back to my beer and popcorn and who cares? Whatever. The world can burn without me. And that is just a logical extension. And it's, in fact, a well-known psychological phenomenon. People will know about the concept of learned helplessness. If you do not, you can read a newsletter I did about that a few years ago called You Can't Win, Don't Even Try, which starts with the anecdote about the, of course, the famous story about how they train the elephants for the circus. They tie them down with these big, heavy, unbreakable chains when they are little baby elephants so that they know that struggle all you can, you're not going to get away. And then by the time they reach adulthood and are these gigantic beasts that could break, they use flimsy little ropes that they could easily break if they tried. But they don't try anymore because they have learned that nothing, no, I can't get out of it, so I'm just going to take it. And of course, there is other more rigorous psychological experiments that have been done about literally electric shocking dogs and things like that. Horrible stuff, but it goes to show that yes, eventually people learn, okay, can't do anything, don't try. And they just lay down and take the electric shocks, figuratively speaking. And so, I don't know if you've observed this. I certainly observe this a lot in the work that I do. For example, with the right to repair that I was just talking about on Solutions Watch. And they make sure to get people's energies invested in, hey guys, write your congressmen so that they support this right to repair act that will solve all these problems. And when that inevitably doesn't work, you know, you tried. What was the point of it all? Just give up, guys. Just go home. And meanwhile, in reality, we start to lose sight of our own agency, and we start to lose sight of what we can actually do in the world, not writing congressmen to support some bill in Congress, but hey, how about actually refusing to buy things from people who won't let you repair your own property, for example, and supporting businesses like Ursa Ag and others that are coming out with, you know, a tractor you can actually fix yourself. Oh my God, what an idea. How come no one's thought of that before? So there is an aspect of that. And there's the other aspect of this, which I don't know if you've noticed. I have certainly noticed this in my work over the last couple of decades, which is every time there is a big, spectacular, terrible thing passing through the news, suddenly there's lots of people coming to CorbettReport.com. They want to hear what I have to say. They want to get the latest information about this big, spectacular thing that's happening. And then when that goes away and sort of things die down and they can go back to sort of everyday life, whatever, they kind of drift away and they don't care so much. And then some big, spectacular, horrible thing happens and they all come back and they want to know about it again. And it just strikes me that, hey, if you guys cared as much during the times when nothing is happening as you did in the times when something is happening, we might actually have a movement that could actually do things in the real world and accomplish things if we kept that kind of energy and focus. But again, it is just natural. And, you know, I'll admit, sure, like doing this day in, day out for year after year, decade after decade, yeah, it does get incredibly demeaning at points where it's dispiriting. And I feel like, oh, you know, do we have to roll this rock up the hill one more time? And that is just natural. So I don't know if there's a solution to this, but I think everyone's feeling it. And I think we all, hey, we're going into the summer months. So I think you and I both know that no one's going to be paying much attention to New World next week in the summer months, right?
I was noting that on my Morning Monarchy this morning. It's like summer is not, again, that's not the time to introduce a new product. They're already getting tons of mileage out of COVID and J6. Still back in the news, still scoring points off of that. James, I went pretty heavy into what I noted is one of your favorite words, in shitification, on my Morning Monarchy the other day. Again, just talking about the inevitable way that all the services go. We're totally different than those bad bigger guys, but now we turned into those bad bigger guys, possibly even worse, because we feigned to act as though we were different. Talking about, again, how, yes, there are more bots on the internet than actual meat space humans. Lay down, GI. Lay down, GI. Or what? We could just watch The Beating Channel on THX 1138. Have you ever seen that film, James? I mean,
I don't remember The Beating Channel.
You know, it's like the hologram channel that Duvall, RIP, puts on. Yeah, you put on, The Beating Channel. It makes you feel better. Of course, mega nerds will know that it is sampled at the very opening of the Downward Spiral album. But yeah, James, it's how they'll train dogs here in the States. You rent a surveillance shocking system, and you put a collar on your dog, and you put flags up all around your property. Your dog goes outside the flags, and gets shocked. But all you got to do is keep it for a couple of weeks, because once he's got that training, he ain't going through there, even once you take down the flags. That's the same exact training you're kind of talking about. I think there is something to be said, again, for knowing what's actually going on literally in your own backyard, which we will discuss a little later on this New World Next Week episode. Like in my case, knowing that there's a wildfire outside might be important. Knowing there's a wildfire somewhere halfway around the world, sad, but I can't probably do anything about that. So James, I'm wondering if the people that watched comedy, fake news for decades, and then were completely blindsided by this whole Trump wave, will they go back to that? Will they go back to watching essentially fake news? It's a speculation. Or will it be fake movies? Sean Penn to direct film about January 6th with Bradley Cooper to star as Capitol Police officer, actor, and filmmaker. Sean Penn is reportedly developing a feature film centered around the January 6th, 2021 Capitol riot with Bradley Cooper in talks to star. Hopefully he can work in some way where he needs to sing. According to Deadline, the project is based on a screenplay written by Sean Penn and follows a police officer caught in the events surrounding the Capitol breach. Remember, the left love being the police, but not, you know, being policed. The film is said to be, again, what's Ice-T done his entire career? Oh, I'm a cop killer, but I actually play one on TV for 40 years. The film is said to be inspired by the experiences of a real-life law enforcement officer, although the individual's identity has not been publicly confirmed. I guess it's one of the cops that didn't totally believably kill themselves immediately afterwards. No casting, no final casting agreement has been announced, but Bradley Cooper is reportedly in discussions to take the lead role. Maybe he can get Lady Gag-Gag in there too. There is speculation that the film may draw on the experiences of former Capitol Police officer Michael Fanone. In the aftermath of the protests, Fanone sought to cash in on his experiences with book deals, television appearances, and becoming a symbol of the anti-Trump resent. Oh, wait, they mean that's a good thing in this case because it's about the orange man being bad. So you can be a giant exploitation whore in this case. His most noteworthy attempt was through the publishing of a memoir, Hold the Line, detailing his experiences during and after J6. Sean Penn, of course, like all the good Hollywood celebs, attended congressional hearings examining the Capitol riot in 2022, in which Fanone and several of his colleagues exaggerated the severity of the events. This coming from the Gateway Pundit. At the time, he said he attended the hearings as a private citizen, like Ray Epps, and was seen speaking with Michael Fanone during the proceedings. Penn is notorious for his left-wing politics and is predictably a fervent critic of President Trump. Both he and Madonna totally deny the story about him tying her up and beating her on his wedding night. He has previously described Trump as a demagogue and has sharply criticized his political movement in numerous public appearances and interviews. Again, it's become their entire personality for the last decade plus. They didn't say dookie about nothing, but now again, as you just said, James, imagine that energy, man. You might actually be able to do something if it wasn't selectively enforced and wildly hypocritical. Just last year, this is news to me, he won Best Supporting Actor Oscar for his role in One Battle After Another, where he plays a white supremacist military officer pursuing a group of socialist revolutionaries. He is also, of course, notorious for leading the feds to wanted baddies. He meets with El Chapo. El Chapo gets arrested. And I'm hoping for a Ray Epps cameo, or at least, you know, Ray Epps could be like a consulting credit on there. Maybe De Niro and his handler Brandon Chase can get on there too. De Niro, I fully believe, is essentially a CIA cutout, which means you don't necessarily know you're being used for intelligence purposes, but you are. You're essentially an intelligence mule, and you'll get up there and play the role. De Niro, I say, is CIA handled since he made the CIA movie with CIA consultants called Wag the Dog. And honestly, I'd be shocked if this actually gets made. There's always lots of yap-yap about movies that get made, but they get stuck in what they call development hell. And there's usually it's like anything. There's a window of the best opportunity to put forth certain projects and products and widgets. And I wonder if this has got a pretty small window. I bet they're probably shooting for a J6 2029 release. You know, it'll be right around JD's inauguration. James.
CIA dupes and toys in Hollywood getting used for as cutouts for black ops and psyops. Somebody get Angelina Jolie and George Clooney on the line. Yeah, this is how it rolls. And you know what? I'm going to go meta with this because I think if there's anything good that we can take out of this story, it is that both you and I have a few grays in our beard. And I would venture to say that no one under the age of, say, 30, at any rate, cares at all about Hollywood programming anymore. I do not think that if they're trying to reach anyone under, that age of 30-ish with this type of propaganda indoctrination, I think it's a gigantic waste of their resources. So I hope they do it and waste all those resources. If there's any good thing to say about the dropping of the attention span to 4.5 seconds or whatever people on TikTok are into these days, it's that they cannot process, do not care about Hollywood movies. And that's why there is no Hollywood actor in the past couple of decades that's really become that international superstar of the days of yore. Tom Cruise and Brad Pitt and others are still big Hollywood superstars, even though they're into their 60s at this point. So it is, I think, you know, whatever. It's a stupid failed medium, and I am not particular. I'm certainly not going to go see this movie when it comes out, and I don't care about it. And I think a lot of people are at that point. So if there's anything good to the dumbing down of society and to the sort of the learned helplessness of, whatever, who cares, news avoidance, this might be it, because I don't think that this type of thing is going to be, it'll win all the awards. But again, who even cares about the awards at this point? So
I'm not bothered. It is for the dwindling number of people that actually see movies. I've reported this with the data for years. It is fewer people paying more. So every time you see, oh my gosh, this new movie made even bajillion dollars, it's like, it's still less people seeing it. It just costs way more, you know, because of the Federal Reserve, which would be great if people got into investigating. Our third and final story on This New World Next Week, episode 635, is a little roundup. I know, every time I say roundup, which is, you know, hey, it'll be a news roundup, it just makes me think of Mon Satan. So that's why I tried to call it a hoedown at the beginning. An update hoedown. Follow-ups on stories we have been covering recently here for you on your New World Next Week. And the one to kick it off in an historic first. Again, imagine this energy on other eras. Congress passes first concurrent war powers resolution to end the Iran war. From antiwar.com, the Senate on Tuesday approved a House-passed concurrent war powers resolution directing President Trump to end hostilities against Iran, marking the first time Congress critters have had the spine to approve a concurrent resolution directing the termination of an unauthorized war. Again, it's like Orange Man gives the gutless powers they just never thought they had. In previous years, Congress has passed joint resolutions directing the president to end wars, such as the 2019, but that's Trump too, to end U.S. support for the Saudi war in Yemen. Could never get it together to try and do that under Obama. It's not like Obama started five wars after Bush's two, which DJ, of course, vetoed at the time, but a concurrent resolution doesn't require the president's signature. Section 5C of the 1973 War Powers Act states that at any time that United States armed forces are engaged in hostilities outside the territory of the United States, its possessions and territories, without a declaration of war or specific statutory authorization, such forces shall be removed by the president if the Congress so directs by concurrent resolution. So that is some pretty wildly positive news. And again, things work great when you cut Israel out of the peacemaking process, apparently. As yes, future President J.D. Vance blasts Israeli officials, Bibi's cabinet has come out and attacked the deal. If I was in the cabinet, I might not be attacking the only powerful ally that I have. And it has been noted that J.D. Vance essentially became the U.S. president last week. As Trump stays home and farts around and gripes about things on social media, J.D.'s the one actually flying around to the big muckety-muck world meetings and acting presidential. Our second update. China adds 10 U.S. firms, including Rare Earth Miner, to export control list. China has added 10 United States-based companies to its export control list and barred government procurement from nearly 50 U.S. companies 2 weeks after the Pentagon blacklisted some of China's best-known companies for their alleged ties to the Chinese military. So that's, of course, just the tit-for-tat right there. But as I noted, in my backyard, missing scientist 53 found dead in National Forest 11 months after her vanishing, as two items found near her remains spark fresh doubts over the suicide theory. Melissa Cassius, RIP, 53-year-old administrative assistant at Los Alamos National Laboratory. That doesn't sound like high-level spook doctor that knows about the aliens on the dark side of the moon. An administrative assistant at Los Alamos National Laboratory was found dead May 28, 2026 in the McGaffey Ridge area of the Carson National Forest. That's outside, James. It's outside. This is south of Taos, but it is outside. Despite being found with a handgun, which her family claimed did not belong to her, there was no ammunition except for the ammunition they found in her head. Weirdness going on, James. And I've talked about the speculation that it is some sort of mind control, voice to skull, Manchurian. Why don't you pass the time by playing a game of solitaire? Multiple of these scientists were last seen leaving their house with a gun and a canteen. And left all their other stuff. But again, if that's not mind control, I don't know what is. Update number 4. Two new tick species descend on the Hudson Valley and the Catskills. The Lone Star tick, which was once limited to the southern and mid-Atlantic states, first confirmed in New York State in 1990 and is now common on Long Island, according to the state health department. The tick is infrequently found in upstate New York and most likely transported by migratory birds that aren't real. The U.S. Center for Disease Creation considers the species established in 16 upstate counties, including Ulster, Sullivan, and Albany. Its bite, oh, by the way, can cause a severe permanent allergy to red meat and dairy. What are the odds? And finally, the horrific update number 5, Frankenstein rabbits with tentacles sprouting from their heads invade several U.S. states. Good night, everybody. The rabbits with the tentacles that we have discussed before are infected by the cottontail papillomavirus, CRPV. They're going to have to get some vaccines for that. Also known as Shope papillomavirus, which causes cancerous lesions resembling horns, typically on or near the animal's head. So James, I know it's summer, but that's some Halloween news right there at the end.
That's what happened to them. Because you'll remember just the other week we were covering that screwworm update, and I cast our minds back to almost exactly a year ago when we were covering the screwworms and the rabbits with tentacles. And now we know what's going on with those. Yay. Good. Well, at least it's not disappearing from the news. As for the War Powers Resolution, it's obviously an important story, and I will refrain from making the obvious cynical observation that, hey, that would have been much more handy, I don't know, 3 or 4 months ago, rather than now when you're in the process of peace negotiations, right? So Congress, yeah, bravely growing a spine and standing up when it's politically convenient to do so costs them nothing and changes nothing on the status quo, obviously. But hey, it sets the precedent for future. Maybe presidents might actually have to get some sort of declaration from Congress again. Remember those good old days back World War II and before? Anyway, in the same way, I will refrain from making the cynical comment about the peace process itself and the fact that it's absolutely, I mean, what's on the table is staggering and shows that America lost this war. I will refrain from commenting too much on that because at least it's over. I don't care what you sign. Just sign, get it over. Stop. So anyway, yeah, some interesting updates, but it just goes to show that the world moves on and continues to go, even if people aren't watching it and even if they're avoiding the news. So we'll continue documenting it for most of the summer anyway.
Hey, that is a huge thanks to Brock for the update about the Frankenstein rabbits getting that on this show. And I, too, have decided to not pursue nuclear ambitions in exchange for $300 million. That's a pretty great deal. We run newworldnextweek.com. I mean, it's now summer. You need all black Media Monarchy shirts and gear. newworldnextweek.com keeps us fear-free, ad-free. You've never heard us shilling a bunch of weird stuff. Again, James, on my morning show, I use, as I always have, lots of clips from all kinds of media. It helps make for a more edutaining type of show. And all the new kids are all vertical video, and I go like a dummy thinking, is there going to be a link for the story that you're discussing? Nope. Just a discount code to buy my electrolytes or buy my garbage product. It's just, I am literally jealous over alternative media, so I've been a little bitter about it lately. But I think you should, you know, probably get a Black Media Monarchy t-shirt. You should also probably check out MediaMonarchy.com/listen. 24/7 news, music, memes, and more. I do a live, brilliant morning news show every morning at 10 a.m. Mountain Time. And after the Thursday morning show, I play the exclusive unpublished audio of these brand new World Next Week episodes. Only me, James, and Brock have heard them, and you can too at MediaMonarchy.com. Like, what's the website? MediaMonarchy.com. James, that's 635, man.
And I understand you guys are having some big semi sesquipedecennial next week. So I guess we'll be taking next week off of New World Next Week and hopefully back in a couple weeks. Anyway, we'll be back when we're back and everyone will be waiting, slavering, literally slobbering all over themselves, waiting for that news update. Get it into my arms, because if there are news avoidian people in the audience, I imagine they're probably not in our audience. Anyway, James, thank you for the updates.
Thanks so much, buddy. Take care.
Take care.